This is the Tech Talk podcast from RNIB.
It might not seem like the kind of topic that blind people might even think about, never mind imagine being available to them, but driverless car technology and its testing in the UK is well underway, and blind people are in the room and contributing to its future development. Feel like a heart to get started when I'm driving. It was last year when the very first Midlands Connected Autonomous Vehicle event, MCAV, took place and showcased how businesses around the UK could benefit from millions of pounds of new investment in driverless car technology. That event was so popular that a second event was held this year to go further into this discussion, focusing this time on not just the financial benefits, but also the social benefits of driverless technology. Businesses from across the Midlands were present at the event, but also charities including RNIB and Beacon Centre for the Blind were there. Arwen Jones is the Chief Executive of Beacon.
We're an investing partner with Conigital Consortium that's organising all of this because we so passionately believe in the technology they're developing to help move these vehicles from A to B is more than capable of being then put into town centres and city centres. And we just feel helping get it to market quickly is the right thing to do. So we're fascinated by what they're doing and we're really encouraging them to move it along and to make everything they're doing accessible to people in the blind and partially sighted community. So some of the apps they're developing so you can hail your own driverless pod, we're making sure they're working on accessible versions of that so that it can exactly help the kind of circumstance you're talking about. They're on our doorstep, and interestingly, the pods themselves, the shuttles, are actually made by the Westfield Car Company, literally just 6 miles away from where we are actually based in Wolverhampton. I have a passionate interest in technology generally, and it just seemed the right thing at the right time for us to get involved in.
Research from KPMG indicates that the connected autonomous vehicles market has the potential to add £51 billion per year to the UK economy by 2030. It'll also help create 320,000 new jobs and prevent 25,000 accidents, saving 2,500 lives every year. And it's that element that really is pushing forward driverless car development, as Monique Seth from Conigital explains.
The accident rate in this country is about 2,000 deaths per year, and 90% of that accident rate is caused by human error, and there's no getting away from that fact. It's the unfortunate reality. If we take the human element out of it, we will undoubtedly reduce accidents and deaths. So straight from the bat, safety becomes a prime factor that connected autonomous vehicles would address. And it will, I'm not saying it's going to eliminate accidents or deaths completely, but it will definitely be reduced. So safety is like a critical factor that CAVs will address in the future.
This event in Birmingham was primarily for businesses to engage with this new emerging sector, and one way is to put the West Midlands at the forefront of this. They plan to develop a new Silicon Valley-style tech corridor between Birmingham and Cambridge. The Mayor of the West Midlands is Andy Street. He represents around 2.8 million people across 7 local council areas, including Birmingham, Coventry, Dudley, Sandwell, Solihull, Walsall and Wolverhampton. He told me about some of the big plans he hopes will happen in the near future.
So I think the idea of a tech corridor can be seen actually at two levels. So in the West Midlands, we're trying to do that to link up the assets in Coventry, brilliant research facilities, Solihull, some of the big plants, and of course in Birmingham as well. So if you think of the last thing I said about trialling, we want to do that between the three, providing different trial conditions as well, bringing everything together on a West Midlands level. But then we've also got to acknowledge, got to go a bit beyond that. There are wonderful assets in Milton Keynes, in Oxford, in Cambridge. So we're really saying that sort of triangle route between all of those, that's where we want the centre of this industry to be. Just interestingly, as Formula One is centred in a very similar triangle as well. So we see a real chance of emulating that.
And you must be really proud that a lot of these driverless cars are coming from here. They're being built in this area around here, Coventry, you mentioned.
Coventry and in Dudley, the pod that you saw outside from Westfield. And indeed, we talked about them actually supplying Emirates. I mean, what a wonderful thing that vehicles built in the Black Country will be at the cutting edge in the Gulf there. So really, yes, I am tremendously proud of what's happening, but that's why it's so, so big an opportunity for us.
One aspect for us as RNIB is that the development of these cars to actually help enable blind and partially sighted people to become more independent is a huge factor here. Is that something, is that a message that you want to carry across as well?
Of course. So, I mean, you've said it. There's not a lot I can add to that, but it's such an obvious point that actually this, in a sense, removes a barrier that has been there for blind and partially sighted people. So, yeah, of course it's to be brought on with as much speed as we can, particularly for that community.
Among the networking and nibbles, my interest moved towards the door as exhibitions of the latest driverless and AI tech were on show, including the live driverless vehicle demonstration, from Heathrow Pods to test driving the latest Tesla X. Even I got the chance to try out the Tesla for myself.
That noise you're hearing is the door closing. Very futuristic. The car starting up, I think, and it's actually moving by itself. It's completely autonomous, just moving forward a couple of inches and it's stopped. That is incredible.
But that wasn't my only experience in the Tesla. As the doors are automatic and open either by remote or autonomously by the car, it creates possibilities most of us might never even consider, like the car being able to dance. Now, just so you understand, on this Tesla, the front doors open as normal car doors would, but the back doors open upwards, so when they open, it appears like wings. That might help you understand what happens next.
Okay, so I've been locked in the Tesla again. The windows are being opened. This is all being done remotely, which is incredible. Lights are going off everywhere. The front lights on the car are flashing in time with the music. Doors now opening. Both doors are opening, actually, either side of me. I'm starting to wonder if I'm going to take off. Both doors are raised. And now they're flapping like wings. An incredible experience. Now the front doors are opening and closing, and the doors again are flapping like wings. Absolutely incredible. And the doors come back in and close from the top. Wow, what an experience of Tesla. Thanks, guys.
What an incredible experience that was. But could this experience be felt by all blind people at some point? Well, that's why charities such as Beacon, Guide Dogs and RNIB are at the forefront of these discussions. John Worsfold is from RNIB.
It's exciting times.
Yeah.
Yeah, it really is. But we've got to get it right. So at the moment, the entire industry appears to be grappling with the technology. They're grappling with what they can do from a safety point of view, from an ethical point of view. And what we've got to ensure is they don't lose sight of the user needs, customers. And again, if we can somehow influence this community, that actually if you design this whole ecosystem based on what we would describe as extreme user needs, you end up with a more robust, more resilient, and a better solution for everybody. So that's why I'm here today, to see what stakeholders we can gather to actually make that happen.
Yeah, because I guess there's a lot of people might wonder why we're here. Yeah. Well, we know why. Well, I know why I'm here. Why are you here?
Well, so I just told you why I'm here. That was to meet you.
Yeah, exactly. No, but I mean, you know, the thing is that it is important that we're in the room here. I mean, you know, in my case, I'm telling the world about what I'm learning about here. What your job, though, I'd say far more importantly, is getting in the room with people who are developing
this in their agenda.
Yeah, so it becomes part of their story.
I'm trying to make inclusive design and where we fit into that more of a commercial appetizer for them. So at the moment, you know, they're talking billions of pounds of revenue for that people could make for potentially 80% of the population if they don't think about people with other characteristics and abilities. So that other 20%, or the purple pound, as you know, people have talked about, it's worth a huge amount to these people, because they're designing systems for effectively 80% customers. It doesn't make sense. So if I can elevate that onto their agenda, then that's great.
It's long been believed that blind people might get forgotten by this technology, as legislation could lead to a requirement that a sighted person has to be in the car. Obi Naha hosted the event and told me his hopes of this car revolution.
I think there are lots more technology now which can be a lot more accessible and inclusive, which will actually allow people who are visually impaired to actually experience a driving. So that's from a software, from a hardware, or tactility as well. So I think that's the technology companies as well. And I think actually there are actually organisations and the smart city councils who are really looking at accessibility and inclusivity as well. So I think actually it's a push and pull, where they are looking at making sure that driving experience is accessible to all.
It's often said that companies and businesses will be lost to the new autonomous and artificial intelligence industry. However, Westfield Cars has reinvented itself and repositioned itself to start developing driverless pods, similar to the ones used at Heathrow Airport. Julian Turner is the company's boss.
So we manufacture the Westfield Pod. We also manufacture sports cars, as well as the Westfield GTM, which is all of these are fully autonomous vehicles that use technology to enable a user to go from a particular point to another point without the need to drive the vehicle.
I heard a rather interesting story about your company, that you were involved in creating sports cars and you did this.
Yep.
And it leads to that point a lot of people bring up about this new technology, that essentially it will end industries. But you actually found this was a way to rebuild your business and do something completely different.
Yeah, so it's very similar to the industry you already have. So we do, you know, very agile. We have to work very closely with the authorities for legislation. The volumes are right for the size of business that we are. The technology that we put on the sports cars is very similar to what we're putting on the vehicles for the pods and the other vehicles. So actually it's a very good marriage. And we are helping the government to find what tests should be done for our type of vehicle, because it is a niche vehicle at the moment, and that's what we lead in. So actually the business model fits perfectly. So when you look at what have we done differently, the answer is nothing. All we've done is expand our knowledge and capability into this area, but bringing the right partners to be able to do it as a team.
The implementation of driverless cars in our society will radically change how we think about driving, car ownership, and even how our cities are designed. As people in Birmingham celebrate the potential, the reality we take away is that the technology is here. And will we as blind people benefit from this? Well, at this stage, it's certainly looking more than hopeful.
Thanks for downloading the Tech Talk podcast from RNIB. Find more podcasts from RNIB on Audioboom, iTunes, and the Apple Podcast app.